morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's things been going?
Bummed about Aaron Rodgers' collarbone.
Oh, it has nothing to do with real estate. I knew you would have something to say about that, for sure.
I'd say it, but I'm watching that game. I need a 30-point game from Aaron Rodgers for my fantasy squad.
And you're in trouble.
He goes down.
Yes.
You know, the Packers are great and all, but I just wanted to win.
See, you you football guys, I know. I knew there would be something this week,
Once they get Finley, Finley will be probably out the rest of the year, but once they get Matthews back and all those guys,
they're
still going to win the division.
And still not going to be as good as the Seahawks.
No, well, let's hope for that. It was a close one.
I'm holding up four fingers. Let me get you some pledge for the Seahawks Super Bowl trophy case.
Well, hold on. I got a good joke. Good joke. Someone just told me this. Reminiscing on the four Super Bowls you won in years past is kind of like bragging about the girlfriends you had in high school.
Well, let's see. Rodgers won one a few years ago.
You guys are terrible. I was going to say that it was cold out. And now I know what you guys have been doing to fill the time.
We're still selling
real estate over here.
Not a sports show.
We're going to have to digress back to the real estate world.
If you buy a new house, you can set up your big screen.
We did talk about that before football season. That was a good ask for me. Is if you feel like you're crunched in there, I can find you a little more space. We always like to start off with the crazy real estate story. Sometimes we have our celebrity real estate stories. Sometimes we have just really unique homes. Well, this week's story actually is a little bit closer to home. It comes right out of Seattle, and it's called Revenge Real Estate is kind of what I'm calling the piece. Sometimes you wonder how and why things get built, where they get built, and sometimes it has to do with a dispute. So there was a house up in Seattle that recently went on the market, and what's very unique about it, it is a tiny pie-shaped wedge of a house that's only 15 feet wide at its widest point, and then triangles down to 55 inches at its narrowest point. It is a crazy little house, and so they went back and looked at the history of that and what happened. And what originally happened is the person that owned the property was going to sell it to his neighbors because they wanted to expand their garden, so he set a fair price on it for them to be able to plant their garden there. Well, they figured that he would never be able to build on it, and he was selling it just out of desperation. So they made him a counteroffer that was well below his original price that he thought he was very fair. What happened is he was insulted by that, became furious by it, and hired an architect to build a house, no matter what, on this piece to block their view, and then paint the backside of his wall black, so they had to stare at this black hole.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
That's how this house came to be. It's actually a cool-looking house. I mean, you know, it's very unique, and they did some fun stuff. Some of the rooms are normal. I mean, from the pictures, somebody took great pictures because it doesn't look like it's only 15 feet wide. But it was kind of, it's just a very unique house, and it was right there in Seattle. Recently came on the market at $397,000, and the funny part about it, somebody must have liked it a lot because already there's a pending offer on the home.
Oh, my.
So, and we've seen things like that happen. You know, it's not always mainly with a building, but I have seen things in our local market. It kind of related to our local market where you really got to know, like, if you have a view that is not protected, you know, or there's a lot below you, there's nothing to prevent somebody from, you know, putting trees up on that lot below you that eventually could block your view. So it was a great point for me to use the story to say, really pay attention when you're looking at properties. If view is a big concern, how that could potentially be affected. I've seen people actually purchase the lots downhill from them so they could maintain that view. It's just another thing to think about is trees do grow, and some grow very rapidly. And if you don't have an agreement in place to protect yourself from there, you might lose some of that view. So that was our crazy real estate story right here in Washington State this week. So I got a good laugh out of that when I saw it. Back to, we've kind of been on a series here where we're talking to government officials and people in our community that really relates to real estate. We had the mayor of Kennewick on. We had Skip Novakovich from the Port. I want to thank everybody for coming down and talking to us about those issues. And now today we have with us in the studio, I'd like to welcome, we have Benton County Assessor Barbara Wagner. Thanks for coming in.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, it's you know, I think whether you want to or not, I think everybody sees your name a lot in property evaluations.
It's well known, but I think a lot of it has to do with how long I've been around.
Definitely. So we always like to start our guests off with tell us just a little bit about your background. I mean, how do you become the Benton County Assessor? And first, just tell us a little bit about how long you've been here, and just give us a little background on you so we get to know you a little better.
You bet. This is my sixth term, so in the next year, that'll be 24 years as the Benton County Assessor.
Wow.
Prior to that, I was in the assessor's office for 15 years as an appraiser.
Okay.
So I have a total right now at the end of this year of 38 years in that office.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. That's legacy there.
And before that, I sold real estate. In fact, I still have my real estate license. It's inactive, of course.
Okay.
That's kind of a long history.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. That's fantastic. And so you kind of just moved from appraiser into the assessor position.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Very, very, very good. Yeah, well, that's... You obviously have seen a lot and have a lot of experience there for sure. And you said that's four terms. So how long are those terms, and how does that work?
Six. This is my sixth term. Those are four-year terms.
Okay.
For the total of 24 years.
Great.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations on that for sure. So one of the things we always like to talk about is – and I think people kind of ask and maybe tell us a little bit about how your office works is how do properties actually get assessed? And, you know, just a little bit about that background and, you know, how often, you know, does the county look at individual properties? Is that every year? Just a little bit about how that works.
We are an annual county, which means we do look at all property every year. We do physically inspect 1/6 of the county.
Oh, okay.
Every year.
Okay.
And basically, in that 1/6, we are really being a lot more thorough, doing everybody in that area. This year happens to be Richland. We just finished West Richland last year, so with Richland this year, basically the old part.
Okay.
The old plat of it. But then we're looking at the rest of the county as far as annually. Without physically going out there.
Gotcha.
So we're actually comparing the assessed value to what the sales are doing and making adjustments. It could be up or down. In fact, we sent out 20,000 notices this year, a little over. And of those notices, we have a certain percent that went down in value. And 57% of 20,000-plus notices went up in value. And 43% went down.
Really? Yeah. I would not have thought that.
I wouldn't have guessed that at all.
Prior to coming out. I'm glad you brought those. I'm looking at those stats you brought in, and that is, right there. So 43% of those 13,000 notices went down in value.
And, you know, people will ask, well, who went down? Some of the more expensive homes we had to lower, we had them a little too high. Some of the neighborhoods that are in older neighborhoods and smaller homes, we were too high. And then you think, well, maybe it's because they can buy a similar home, a potential buyer over in Pasco for less than what we have some on in Benton County. I don't know what.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, and that's a great point, and that's good to hear from your office because. We run into that a lot because in the information age on the real estate side, folks are coming to us and they're, you know, they've looked at the listed value of a house that's for sale. They've done their research online. Now they can access the assessed value. And they come to us and they said, okay, you know, Lance, this house is on the market listed for $160,000, but the assessed value is $170,000. What's going on there? And you're exactly right. A lot of times it comes down to maybe there's pressure from new construction, so those sale prices have driven down a little bit. But I can tell you the consumer's very aware of that assessed value. and you're exactly right, though. A lot of it is those comparable sales are less than maybe the last adjustment. So that's great to see that you guys are making those adjustments. And then also I do see that, the 57% of those, so roughly 7,500, definitely went up by about 10% or less on the majority.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, okay, very, very good. And what is, I guess, one of the things about that situation that we come across is, what's changed at your office in the last couple of years? I mean, what are some of the bigger changes you've seen, you know, in the assessor's office?
Well, basically, instead of doing everything by hand and with paper and with books, for the last several years, we've been using handheld devices out in the field. In fact, we are just about to switch, as of today, actually, we're getting demonstrated how they're going to work. We used to download an entire neighborhood, and then you'd have to come in at night and plug it in and actually upload all the changes.
Okay.
Now we're going to have devices connected through Wi-Fi so that they're going to be immediate. We're not going to have to do the download of the neighborhoods or the upload of the changes. They are actually going to be immediate.
As you're in
and
the field.
I'm not a computer guru, so when you start talking about how it goes up into the cloud and all that, it's like, okay, this is supposed to work. And
right.
We are really at the state of the art, just right there, being right up on what can we do to continue to, with the growth of the county. We picked up $440-some-odd million worth of value this year. We have over 70,000 parcels in the county.
Wow.
How do you keep up with that and have the same number of employees year after year after year?
Now that,
you have to use technology to keep up with that.
That is a great question. How roughly, I mean, and this wasn't a question I had written down even before we came, so, but roughly how big is your office? Like how many appraisers deal with all that property?
We have 12 appraisers.
Okay.
The majority of them are residential appraisers because 82% of the 70,000 parcels are actually residential.
Oh,
wow.
So
that's
wow.
the biggest bulk of our value.
Hmm.
Not only number-wise, but value-wise. Then we have three commercial appraisers, and we can't forget our farms. We have a number of farms, and sometimes I have people saying, oh, that's going to go away. I go, no, it's not going to go away. You start driving over to Oregon, and you see how they've expanded in the river irrigation, and you look over into our west side of the county, and how many orchards are coming out because the wine grapes are going in. It's not going away. So we have a job there to do, too, with the farms.
Well, it was interesting because I was driving back from last weekend. I was driving back from Portland, and I think because I knew I was going to have you on the show, I was more aware of it than I had been before. And I think it must be just outside of Alderdale, there, just be along the river there on the Washington side, you see the entering Benton County sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think it was because you were going to be on the show. I just looked at my wife and I said, oh, we're in Benton County. And she's like, it is all the way down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I guess, you know, just because I was more aware because of having you as a guest, but that's a big area.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we have to keep up with that, the growth of the farms that are going in and the programs that are available for them and making sure we're being fair with everybody and values.
Well, that is just fantastic. Great, great information. We're here talking with Barbara Wagner of the Benton County Assessor Office. We're coming up against our first hard break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what goes on at the Assessor Office, some programs that she's brought in that affect you as an individual, and we'll also talk to Tom Coyne about what's going on in the lending industry.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about assessments. Benton County Assessor Barbara Wagner here with us today. We've also talked about some great real estate stories, but when it comes down to it, most of the time you're going to need a little money to buy that house. So, and if it's not all cash, we're going to be talking with Mr. Tom Coyne here at Sterling Bank. Tom, how have you been?
Lance, I have been fantastic.
Good. What's going on in lending right now? I see you're still, thanks for keeping the rates low still. I know that's all you.
It's softened up here in the last few weeks. We got a lot of happy home buyers that are locking in at lower than I expected.
Great.
And so I think we're about as low as we've been in the last 4 or 5 months. So it's definitely a good time to get into the market here, even with, you know, the winter season's coming up. But I first off wanted to thank our listeners for the calls I received recently. Had a couple clients that called in last week after the segment I did on VA loans with questions about their potential eligibility.
Good.
I really do appreciate it. If you have questions on any home financing or even your friends or family, please feel free to give me a call at the office. So we have a busy show today. I wanted to get in a quick reminder to all of our listeners regarding the changes Fannie Mae is implementing this next week. Starting on the 16th of November, so that's just here next weekend, Fannie Mae is changing their maximum loan to value on conventional loans to 95%. So we currently offer a 3% down conventional loan and also offer the single finance mortgage insurance option with the 5% down. I've talked about this program a lot on past shows, but just as a quick reminder, with single finance mortgage insurance, you never pay monthly mortgage insurance. It gives you a substantially lower monthly payment than the traditional monthly mortgage insurance, and instead of paying it monthly, we'll roll in the equivalent of 3.5 years of mortgage insurance into the loan at closing. If you were to pay it monthly, you have to pay every single month until your loan hits 78% of the original sales price, and on a 30-year loan with 5% down, it's going to take you about 105 months to get to that point.
Wow.
So by paying it up front, you're going to save a full 5 years of mortgage insurance and, of course, have a lower monthly payment. So starting this next week on the 16th, clients will no longer be able to put just 5% down and get this great program. They're essentially going to have to start putting about 7% down in order to qualify for it.
Okay.
So we'll still offer this program after the 16th, but you're just going to have that higher down payment. However, if we take your loan application this next week before the 16th, and I'm able to get you an automated underwriting approval, which generally takes about an hour or so, you're grandfathered into these current rules as long as you close within 90 days from that time. If you close after 90 days, we'll have to pull a new credit report, which will cause you to fall under the new guidelines.
Gotcha.
So this is a real change that's coming. If you're in the market, you think you'll be buying in the next couple months, you definitely want to give us a call. We'll get your credit pull. We'll get this automated approval. We'll keep you under these current guidelines. Now, this is a Fannie Mae rule change. This doesn't apply to just Sterling Home Loans. It applies to all lenders. If you're already pre-approved with another lender and they haven't told you about this support rule change, I would probably ask them why. Or just give me a call. I'd love to talk with you about your financing options. Try to get you pre-approved this next week. Again, it gives you 90 days to close on a home before these changes. You can call me anytime at the Sterling Home Loan Office at 783-7300 or visit me on my website, TomCoyneHomeLoans.com.
Good information, Tom. Thanks a lot for bringing that in. I know you've wrapped up some great deals for us in the last couple of weeks, so thanks for all the great work on that, and we've got a couple pendings working right now, so thanks again for helping our clients out there.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Things are always changing. I mean, like you said, that's one thing we're sure of, is it's going to change.
You know, programs are changing all the time. I still have clients that call me and say, I want an FHA loan, and they have 800 credit scores and 20% down. Well, they're not an FHA client anymore. In the years past, it was a great program. Things have just changed, and we definitely work hard to stay on top of the rule change. Just keep our clients informed.
Awesome. Thanks for that great service. Appreciate it. So we have been talking about what happens at the Benton County Assessor's Office, how that affects everybody locally. And so we've got a couple great things. Barbara, we've been talking about a little bit about how the property is assessed and what that means for folks. We have a tendency to get on a roll about subjects here and then run out of time. So I know you said during the break, let's talk no matter what. So I'm going to talk about that first, and then we can go into some other stuff. But you brought in a form that you were showing and explaining to me, and talk a little bit about what this is. And that is the senior citizen exemption from real property taxes. What's that all about?
Well, basically what we have is a statewide program, and this form you're looking at is produced by the Department of Revenue. It's for senior citizens or people that are actually disabled from employment. If they can bring in the proof that they are no longer ever going to work again, and usually that's proof from a doctor's note, then it doesn't matter what age you are. But if you're a senior and you're 61 and or older, and your income is less than $35,000, then that's your entire income of the entire household. So if there's two of you, you've got to count, and that includes Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're between $30,000 to $35,000, we're going to take off your excess levies, which is actually 60%
of
your taxes.
Wow.
And we're going to freeze your value as long as you're on that program. So if you're on that program for the next 10, 15 years, we're never going to change your assessed value unless we need to lower it.
Okay.
So when it goes with the market going up, we're not going to, it's frozen. If you happen to be even a lower income between $25,000 and $30,000, not only are you going to have the excess levies, and excess levies means that those that are voted in by the people, but $25,000 to $30,000, we're going to take a percentage off of your value, your assessed value, plus the excess levies, plus the frozen value, which is, so it's a 35% reduction, basically, is what it is off your home. And if you're under $25,000, we'll take 60% off your value, plus the excess levies. It's a great program. It's amazing how much it saves, even if you're in the highest category, to get that 60% off.
Well, and the folks, you know, a lot of times we get into that where folks have paid off a house. That's part of their retirement planning. They're on fixed incomes.
Right.
And then they don't have, that takes some of the worry about those increasing rates. I did not know that they froze the value. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you need to come into our office, and if you can get in there before the end of this year, we'll get you all set up for a reduction next year in your taxes for next year.
Because, you know, a great service, people in their homes, because an empty, vacant, or foreclosed home doesn't generate any revenue, does it?
Yeah. No, that's really good program.
In the long run, keeping people in the homes is better off for you guys.
Right.
Okay. And another program that you brought or a paper here to talk about, and this is the question as a real estate agent I get all the time, is like, it's like, Lance, there's seven houses just like mine on the block. They've all sold in the last year for 150, and I'm assessed at 160. I think my house is really worth 150. What do I do about that? Is there a process in place? How does that work?
Well, first of all, we encourage everybody to call our office, and we can communicate what's going on. Especially when we send out those change of value notices, because that's when you have 30 days to protest your value, and we can make those changes because there's something we didn't realize about your neighborhood or about your property as far as something that, a condition that we weren't aware of that we couldn't see from the outside because you weren't home. So if we can make those adjustments, that's fine. If we still feel that we can't, and we can support that value, then you do have another option. It doesn't cost you anything, and that's to go to the Board of Equalization.
Okay.
And the board is appointed by the county commissioners. There's three members, and there's a form to fill out. And one of the basic things you need to realize, though, give us some reasons. Don't just say, my taxes are too high.
That's probably...
That one doesn't work.
That's kind of that, duh.
That one doesn't work.
Your taxes are too high. There you go.
Okay.
So we need to work on the value. You
gotcha.
Know, why do you feel your value is too high? Maybe it's the land value or it's the house value, but we are going to look at the total value. Is it worth that? And show sales. And if you can show sales... Or maybe it's talking to your realtor and saying, hey, my realtor said it wouldn't sell for that. Or maybe you did have an appraisal done on it recently that you can show that, hey, well, this appraisal didn't come out as much as what you have it assessed for. So if you have different reasons, we try to be fair to everyone. As far as there's different categories. Department of Revenue is policing us all the time. They don't just give us a ratio based on all properties. They actually break down every category, and they look and they judge us based on, okay, what are you doing with the homes that are under 100,000? Well, what about between 100,000 and 250,000? What about the more expensive homes? What are you at each one of those individual categories? What about mobile homes? What about commercial property? So they look at each category, and then they give us a grade every year.
So you guys get report cards.
So yeah, the Department of Revenue is grading you to where you're at in the value ratio.
That's exactly right. In fact, we've been one of the top counties in the state of Washington for a number of years as far as all these categories to meet them. They typically, IAAO standards, International Association of Assessing Offices, basically wants you to be at above 90%, and if you can get those marks going across in every category, then you're getting an A+, basically, and we've been able to meet that.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. That's great information on both sides of the fence. Now, a lot of times people, you know, I think just on a general level, a little bit of understanding is so how does that levy rate kind of work, and where, you know, where does that money kind of break down and go to? You know, because a lot of people just look at it and say, oh gosh, what is this rate? How does that work?
Well, basically what you have is 25 districts, and that's including all the schools, fire districts, cities, the county, road department if you are outside of the city limits. And the levy rates have been coming down over the years, but, you know, in a way you can't really say that their taxes are getting lower because while levy rates go down, I've been raising values, so this sort of offsets each other and washes each other out.
Well, I appreciate your perspective on that.
But as far as a homeowner, you know, well, what are you actually paying? And the levy rate right now has been running right around 11 something per $1,000 value.
Okay, so that works out to be, yeah, like $11 per $1,000 of value.
Right, and there's some add-ons that are not based on an actual dollar amount. It's a flat amount per lot.
Oh, okay.
Like soil, weed, and horticulture. So if you add those up, your Kennewick is at like $196 per month. Richland, $193. West Richland is $200.
Okay.
That's for a $200,000 home.
Oh, I like how you broke that down. Huh. So on a $200,000 home, that roughly is going to be, annual property taxes in Kennewick, $2,354, about $196 a month.
Right.
And West Richland, I'm sorry, it's going to be $4 a month, $4 a month more for you. So,
right.
Well, that's really interesting. I've never quite seen it broke out like that. That, you know, makes it very real. And that's what, you know, we tell people when they're, you know, when you are owning a home and looking at where those taxes are going, a lot of it comes out of that valuation that starts at your office.
That's correct.
Well, very, very good information. What do you see? I always like to ask people that are in here, and over the next coming 4 to 5 years in your world as an assessor and what you do, what are the challenges that you guys, you talked a little bit about technology, but what are the challenges to you and your office the next 5 years?
I think the biggest challenge is the fact that it sometimes is it's quite a handle to keep two offices functioning. I have a satellite office here in Kennewick, so we pretty well give service to everyone except for some of the builders. They need to go to Prosser for some of their mapping and for long plats and short plats and some of the, because my SIG department's up there. But I have it split just about 50-50.
Oh, okay.
So I have appraisers at both ends. I would like it if I could have more room down here to have more down here, because that would save the county as far as gas and county car use, because most of those appraisers and Prosser are driving down to do their work in the Tri-Cities most of the time is where our reval is.
So, gotcha. So one of those challenges will be keeping costs low and maintaining two offices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah, I hadn't considered that. And great work on the technology side. I mean, it sounds like you guys are functioning a lot like real estate agents are. I mean, we're out in the field and pulling up those values and looking on the websites and using that information in real time.
Yeah.
And it really makes it a lot more efficient for our clients. So I'm glad to see that that's being implemented on the government level. Great information. I appreciate you guys in your office bringing us that information, because a lot of people don't know where to start, and it's nice for, I mean, I learned something today. So that's great. And if anybody has any questions at all, they can always get a hold of me. You can go to the website, kenmartin.com. If you have any questions or want to get contact information for any of our guests, just shoot me an inquiry there, and I'll make sure we get it in there. Barbara, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you guys are busy, obviously, with 12 appraisers trying to assess an entire county. Thank you for giving us 30 minutes. So that's great. And as always, Tom, if people have any lending questions, how do they get a hold of you?
Call me at the office, 783-7300, or go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next Saturday
on News Talk 870.